To Ephesians 4. I know in second service we've been going through Ephesians for quite some time now, but I want to back up and look at one verse there that will be sort of the theme for our message this morning. Ephesians 4, verse 14. I have to always make sure I turn there myself because sometimes when I cut and paste from the internet I get a stray reference, but I'm pretty sure that's correct. Yes, Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let's have a brief word of prayer. Dear Father, thanks again for this beautiful day, and for most of all for your word that we can open and share together. We have the same common Bible that has your inerrant scriptures in it. We're just so grateful that that is the case, that you've provided it for us. And that we can prove that that's what it is and can rest assured in what it has to say about us here in 2017. Even though it's quite old, chronologically speaking, it's as relevant today as it is from eternity past when it was settled in heaven. So thank you for that, and just help us to enjoy your word this morning. Grateful for a minister that we can come to and get the word rightly divided each and every Sunday. We thank you for this in our Lord's precious name. Amen. Well, I just wanted to say a couple of words about being able to spend some time with Henry's family on Tuesday. We got a chance to do a graveside service. He called me the week before and said, "I'm in a bind. I need some help. Can you do a graveside service?" I thought, "Wow, I've never done that." So that was kind of at first I thought, "What do you say?" And I thought, "Well, you just preach the gospel, right? You don't have to make anything up or say any stories. You just preach the gospel." And I was so grateful that they let a white guy in, because that's Filipino culture is very tight. And I probably thought, what's this white guy doing up there? But we just got a chance to share the gospel, the grace of God. It was really an enjoyable time. And it was a follow-up to John's service on Sunday where one of the, I think it was Henry's son-in-law, had taken an image of people in the audience and their eyes were about this big because he was just going right at it. He wasn't mincing any words about the gospel, saying, "That's going to be you someday over there," just like Henry's mom, dead. What are you going to do about it? What's the answer to that? And he preached the gospel very hard. So I took a little different tack, but it was really a wonderful time. So I really appreciate that and want to thank Henry personally for that, publicly for that. So, but this idea of every wind of doctrine, you know, I was thinking about that, and the title for today's message is Fake News or Good News? And, of course, that's reference to the gospel. So I want to get that up front so we don't forget to get that put in. Fake news or good news? And you think about every wind of doctrine. I'm sure even this past week, if you think about all the things you hear on the news or just from friends, acquaintances, even with your mind, I'll tell you, a lot of this we could qualify as fake news. I'm not talking about politics. That's kind of where that phrase came up, right? Fake news. Right, accusing the left. Fake news. Left going back. Oh, you guys are fake news. It's all about politics. But really, in the gospel, there's a lot of fake news surrounding the Word of God, isn't there? So the idea there is to not be blown around like leaves you see on the ground swirling around. You don't want to be like those leaves just being blown around. Oh, go here, go there. Oh, that sounds good. You don't want that to happen to you. And the only way is to be able to identify what fake news is. And when you rightly divide the scriptures, it's so much easier to do that, isn't it? There's always going to be questions in your mind. Is this really how this works? But when you get to that point where you realize Paul's gospel is the one we're supposed to focus on, then it's much easier to identify what fake news is as far as the gospel goes. So I'm going to make about 10 statements. We'll just take a few minutes on each, go over some scriptures. And I want you to, in your mind, you don't have to say it publicly, but quantify. Is that fake news or is that good news? Is that the gospel? So here's the first one. Fake news or good news? All Bibles basically say the same thing. So pick whichever one works for you and happy studying. Fake news or good news? That's obviously fake news. See, this is the smart bunch here. You know how to rightly divide. The gospel we preach from this pulpit is the gospel of the grace of God. And you'll even see churches say grace, Bible church, things like that. But when you go and you visit, it's like, if you know what right division is all about, you'll realize that's not really what sounds like the gospel of the grace of God that I know. And people will accuse you of splitting hairs. You know, the idea of splitting hairs. Oh, it's not that. Come on, why do you guys focus on that so much? It's like, it's not that big of a difference. But if you'll think about little phrases, like we like to talk about faith in Christ and faith of Christ, that one little word, isn't that all the difference?
Yeah.
Kind of held in those phrases there? For someone to think that that's not worth focusing on, they're not really getting it. But when you get the idea of the faith of Christ, and that being, as we've said over and over recently, our resource, and you realize, well, that's something I can stand on, the faith of Christ. That gives me some confidence, something I can have confidence in. And there's a huge difference. And to have a Bible that doesn't even have that phrase in it, that's a massive problem. And it's not just that phrase. It's many other phrases and concepts that are twisted and covered up in modern Bibles. And it goes right back to the manuscripts they used. The fellows that put those two things together purposely scratched things out, added things in, contrary to a lot of warnings to the Scripture, beginning, middle, and end. Don't you dare mess with my word. And that's what's happened. So it's no wonder that so many modern Bibles from, say, 1850 on all read kind of the same way. Same errors. They're using the same manuscripts. King James uses that Textus Receptus, which doesn't have those errors in it. So we're grateful to have a clean, clear Word of God in front of us today. You recognize in faith of Christ that if your faith were to try to match up with that, even faith in Christ, you wouldn't make it, would you? And when you talk to people about issues like that, you recognize what they're having their confidence in. It kind of gives you an idea of what direction to go with them. You can talk about the faith of Christ, how important that is to us as grace believers, and hopefully they can understand that too. It seems rare that you can have a conversation where people actually understand what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, I understand the faith of Christ. And then you go on to work. It's like, what? You didn't really get it. Slow down. I also want to say thank you on behalf of Amanda, our oldest daughter, who went to Puerto Rico. She was able to have lots of conversations with people, and a lot of you were able to contribute to her scholarship, if you will, to go. She said people there just love to sit and talk about whatever. I don't know if it just keeps them from doing what they're supposed to be doing. It kind of sounded like that. But they'd have 10, 12 conversations on a college campus, no problem, all day long. Oh, yeah, let's talk. And it's really tough to do that. People are in such a hurry. There's so much going on. They're so focused on what they're doing. Back there is more of a just take your time. See a friend in the store, let's talk. And they'll talk for an hour before they go on to their next thing they're supposed to be going to. Started talking. One guy says, I got to be working an hour. They talked for 2 hours. They said, when are you supposed to be working? He said, oh, yeah, I'll just go when we're done. It's like, what? Can't do that here. It doesn't work that way. So it's rare that you even get to have a conversation, it seems like, with people out here. And then you try to talk about the faith of Christ, they don't get it. So it can be frustrating. I understand that. But don't give up. Gospel, the grace of God, shows that God's Word, He's committed to what He's doing. He's building the body of Christ, forming the body of Christ. You're a part of that. How'd you get in? Somebody kept preaching to you, and you go, that makes sense. So don't stop preaching the gospel, the grace of God. Don't stop focusing on the good news. That is the faith of Christ. And then our faith in Christ results from that. So that's, you got to get that cart turned around, not before the horse. Make sure that's straight. Trusting the blood of Christ and His faithfulness to the plan is what's going to get us there, isn't it? It's not our faithfulness. You see your faith grow. Paul talks about your faith groweth exceedingly. And that's what our goal is here in this ministry, is to see people's faith grow in the faith of Christ and His faithfulness to us. How about this statement? And I have to admit, I just made some of these up, but it sort of takes a theme that you hear out there in the world, and I'm sure you could make a whole list yourself, but how about this? God is love, so any person that tries their best must be justified in His sight. After all, God is love, so that's all it takes. All you need is love, right? Sorry. I drive by a church on the way to our home, and it says, God is love. You often see that on the billboard out front of churches. And while there that might be true, God is also holy, isn't He? He cannot abide sin. So obviously that's fake news, the idea that anybody that tries their best will be justified in the sight. Pride comes in so many shapes and sizes. It has so many symptoms. What are some common excuses that you hear? How about, there are many ways to God. Just like John said, all roads lead to the center of town. So that's the idea. Fake news. It couldn't be that easy. Grace, really? As if dying on the cross was easy. Come on. I mean, for him, he says, where's my adversary? Let him come near to me. So in a sense, he says, I got all the power I need to get through this, as tough as it was. But that's not something you could ever do. How about, it's finished, so that means he did his part, but you got to kick in your part now. He finished his part, where's your part? That's not what it's saying, is it? These are all common excuses. God is left, so I can, whatever I feel like I can do, whatever I want to make it be is what it's going to mean. How about, of course you have to do good works to merit going to heaven. Ten Commandments, come on. No, sorry. How about if you're basically a good person? This is where pride kicks into, isn't it? God wouldn't keep you out. That wouldn't be fair. Well, I'm talking about things that are fair or unfair today. That's, again, part of that. God's love, so he's got to let you in. How about I've done such and such, so of course he's going to let me in. Or I haven't done that. He got to let me in now. That's all part of pride, isn't it? It's just, isn't that how it works? How about I don't deserve it. Why would he let? No way. It's all part of false pride, isn't it? I'll look into it later. That sounds interesting. Maybe later. That's not for me right now. I got a life to live, don't you know? How about, oh, it's your opinion. That's just your opinion. You heard that one before?
Yeah.
Okay. How about the Bible isn't meant to be taken literally? I mean, evolution proves it's false. Come on. There's many other things you could list. All that are based on pride and not really understanding your predicament. That you deserve to go to hell based on what you've done or failed to do. But the gospel of grace says I'll give it to you for free. How about another statement like this? You won't really know until you get to heaven whether or not the grace of God has made that much difference in your life or the life of others. I really don't know. I don't think that's true. Paul, when he wrote to certain assemblies, and we'll talk about them as we get close to the end, you could tell that they were either on the right track or they were really not on the right track. And so you look at those warning signs. You want to be able to compare what's going on with you to the warning signs and the ones that went well. Compare and contrast, you can see what direction makes the most sense. If you take a look at 1 Thessalonians 1:3, for example. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. He said about the Thessalonians, he held them up as an example of people, as we mentioned earlier, 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So he could point to them and say they had these three aspects. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Those are interesting combinations. I try to get those set in my mind and memorize that verse, and it's like, ah, the combination is so unusual. And yet that's something he commended them for. So he knew that what they were doing, their faith was growing exceedingly, that they were making a difference, and that's our goal too in this assembly, is to make sure that when you go out there week after week and come back and get re-energized by God's Word, that you'd be able to realize that what you're doing is making a difference. I got to see John Mowry, went by his place after spent the time with Henry's family. And now he's very discouraged right now because his body's just letting him down. He's had to have some disc replaced in his neck. And I said, boy, I bet you understand that verse about the sufferings of this present time. He goes, oh, yeah. It's really tough for him right now. So, but when you understand even the message of what suffering's all about and how it plays a role in our life as believers, it's not meant to discourage you. In the long run, it's frustrating as can be. And yet when you realize the sufferings of this present time, the verse doesn't stop there, does it? Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that's where that gospel of grace turns even your suffering on its head. So thinking that's, you know, there, it's frustrating beyond your capacity, well, yeah, that's why the gospel of grace is Christ in me and not me. And that strength I get is to be strong in the Lord. I was sitting with the kids one Sunday, and Miss Lori came in and said, you know, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I said, Miss Lori, what do you think that means, obey your parents in the Lord? And she says, well, obviously, they don't have the strength themselves. It's got to be through the Lord's strength. I thought, man, that's good. That's the way it is for us, too. The strength comes because we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And that's what gets you through the suffering you have and can can motivate you to praise the Lord in the middle of your problems instead of being overly frustrated or downtrodden. So we need to keep encouraging each other when you get down, before you get down, so when you get down, it won't be a problem for you, because it's going to happen sooner or later. As you get older, things are going to happen to you. Body's going to break down, or it could be financial problems, could be peer pressure, who knows what it is. But when you prepare your mind based on Scripture before it happens, then when it does happen, it won't throw you for a loop. How about this one? Fake news or good news? Once you're saved, you have to whip your flesh into shape in order to serve God. That's obviously fake news, right? How about Galatians? Go to Galatians chapter 3. I think the old Baptist phrase used to be, how is it? Wet them, work them, whip them, or something like that. Some order, and that's like, ooh, man. That's, work them, whip them, wet them, something like that. That's not how it works under grace, is it? He says, he called the Galatians. Here's another group that, when you take a look at how they're doing, he wasn't very complimentary. He calls them foolish Galatians. Galatians 3, verse 1. I often think, if I was alive during the time of the Apostle Paul, would I have been a Galatian, Corinthian, Thessalonian, Philippian, you know, where? And you kind of, you know, it's like this, up and down. You'd probably find yourself in all those camps, but the goal is to look like a Thessalonian or a Philippian, not a Galatians or a Corinthian. So you wouldn't want him to call you a foolish Galatian, yet if that's the problem you're having, it's like you might as well just tell like it is. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. He's going to focus on this one point. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Which one was it? Hearing of faith. That was the good news. That wasn't the fake news, works of the law. And then he makes this segue, are you so foolish? He continues by saying, having begun in the Spirit, obviously it was by the hearing of faith, begun in the Spirit, verse 2 on the 3 there, are you now made perfect by the flesh? I mean, you're going to try to whip yourself into shape through your own energy? That isn't how it works. It's by the hearing of faith once again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? We walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5. And so that faith is in the Word of God. And that's how you walk. It's Christ in you, not you. How about this one? Fake news or good news? All wisdom comes from God. Yes or no? Sorry, yeah, we got to quantify it. Thank you. Wisdom, the world has a type of wisdom, doesn't it? Do you know there's a phrase, wisdom of this world? You know how many times it shows up in the Bible? 3 times. Guess where you're going to find it. Okay, where in Paul's epistles? Who are the people that had problems with wisdom of this world? Who are the ones that were focused on the wisdom of this world? Remember who? Corinthians, right? It's in Corinthians. And it's 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 2, and 1 Corinthians 3. All 3 of those phrases. I never realized that. Let's take a look at all of them. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Right there. They're the ones that focused on wisdom. Look where it got them. They got into so many mixed up situations because they focused on the wisdom of this world. It wasn't just spiritual problems they had. It led to all kinds of social problems too. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? There it is. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. We speak the wisdom of God in mystery. Chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He hath taken the wise in their own craftiness. So, just because someone tries to point you to wisdom, make sure it's wisdom based on the Word of God rightly divided, because we talk about wisdom of God in a mystery, don't we? Lots of wisdom in this book. But if you don't divide it up the right way, you're going to focus on the wrong thing. One of the messages at the pastor's conference was, Steve was telling me it's called The Gospel That's Not in the Gospels. I thought that was a good title. 4 Gospels. Everybody wants to focus on that in a lot of churches, and yet you're not going to get the gospel of the grace of God, because it was committed to the Apostle Paul, wasn't it? And he gave a mystery that was kept secret from before the foundation of the world, but then was given to him. Big gap in time there where it wasn't revealed. And so that's what we're privileged to speak week in and week out here. So the idea of all wisdom comes from God, well, be careful. There's a wisdom of the world out there too. We're talking at Henry's mom's service about the Corinthians and how the Apostle Paul spent time with them personally quite some time. Not long after he left, what happened? They went to somebody else and said, oh, I like what he has to say too. And Paul fell by the wayside. How many instructors did he accuse them of paying attention to? 10,000. It might have been a little short. I mean, that's probably even more than that. It's crazy to think about that, though. 10,000 people. It's like they got on, if they had the internet, they got on the internet and just looked for all kinds of wisdom. Oh, let's focus on that this week. This, that this week. Instead of thinking about the wisdom of God and the mystery. So, if it can happen to the Corinthians, let's not let it happen to us as we focus on God's Word and rightly dividing it, making sure that you're not like those guys on Mars Hill in Acts 17. Look at Acts 17, verse 18. Paul had the truth, and look at how these guys reacted to him, much like the Corinthians did. Acts 17, verse 18. Then, Acts 17, verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And don't you know the Corinthians, after a certain period of time, some of them in the midst, they were saying, there is no resurrection. Sounds like those guys. What? How could you... You know, they didn't forget it, because that's, talk about someone raising from the dead, that's pretty dramatic. It only happened that one time where he stayed resurrected and became the resurrection and the life. And so for Paul to say, how can some of you say there is no resurrection? What? Didn't we have a little talk about that when I was there for those 2 years I spent with you? And now you say there's no resurrection? It's because they didn't want to believe it. They didn't care about it. They didn't want to feature it. And yet, isn't that the thing that we focus on the most? Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? If Christ is dead, we're still dead in our sins, and everything we're doing is in vain. Waste of time. But now is Christ risen from the dead. It's amazing he had to go back and go over that again. But you know, it's just like with the Galatians. He said, are you so foolish? Having begun the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Really? That seems so basic to us, doesn't it? But that's where the problem is. Then when that wisdom from the world, you let that creep in and get rooted in your mind, it's going to steer you away from gospel of grace of God. Christ in me, not me. So we keep going over those verses over and over. It's safe for us to keep going over those things. So as you get out there for 2 weeks and you stop paying attention to the Word of God, you're going to get off track pretty fast. What the Bereans do? They study daily. I'm not there yet. I do the Bible reading, which you're kind of like, oh, I've got to blast through this. I don't want to think about it that way. I want to think about what's going on through the flow of the Word of God. That's why I love the zone. I think we've lost track of how many times we've done it. But each time you go through, you see something new. And as you go through, you get to your part. It's like, oh, in Paul's writings now. And just that joy you get from reading Paul's writings, comparing it to what was going on before and thinking, I'm secure in Christ. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. I have a place in there with Him. Christ lives in me. Wow, that's so different. So all that fake news out there about the gospel won't get you off track. How about this one? You people who preach about right division are only succeeding at dividing people. You ever heard that? Where people accuse you, that's just going to cause divisions. You might not have heard that if you preach, you know, the idea of it long enough, you'll probably hear it. Once again, fake news. This reminds me of a statement that Barry Curtis made once from this pulpit. He said, he's talking about the message that Christ gave to Paul, and he says, if Christ says, follow man, you follow him. And that really stuck with me. I thought, wow, that's true. He said, be followers of me, even as I follow Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said a lot of things when he was on earth, didn't he? Four Gospels, things like that, even in early Acts. He didn't say them all to us, though, did he? There's a lot of things he did say to the Apostle Paul. And one of the things he said was to rightly divide the word of truth. And how do you know what the word of truth is? John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. So you divide that book up, It's all full of truth, that you divide the truth from the truth so you're not getting focused on the wrong thing in the word of truth, and you'd be safe from that kind of fake news where you're going to be dividing people. Well, so be it. If someone doesn't understand, you don't have to beat them over the head until they do. That's not your job. You know, you need to be patient with people, long-suffering, gentle, kind, things like that. And sooner or later, maybe you'll come across somebody that'll listen. It won't be like Amanda in Puerto Rico. Oh, sit down and talk for 2 hours. Might not be like that. But you might find someone who will be interested. And your kids are kind of a captive audience sometimes. You always start on them. But, you know, got to be gentle with them too, because you can overdo it sometimes. So it takes a lot of wisdom to know when and where to apply some pressure. But you plant, you water, and who's going to give the increase? God is, right? So you can just leave it with Him. How about this statement? Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, they're both apostles. So if you make more of Paul, it's not fair. Didn't Christ say to Peter he was going to build the church on him and the gates of hell would not prevail against it? Matthew 16:18. Didn't he say that to Peter?
Yeah.
When he says, on this rock, take a look at this, Matthew 16:18. We've talked about this before. Matthew 16:18. And after all, Peter means rock, like little rock, right? So he must have been talking about Peter. Matthew 16:18. There are entire religious organizations, religious structure built on the idea of Peter is the rock. And he was the first of Christ's apostles that he was going to use going forward. Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, isn't that talking about Peter? Sorry. How do I know that rock is not Peter? Well, is there a verse that Paul, when he uses the phrase rock of offense, does that sound familiar to you? I think that's the rock he's talking about, that Christ is the rock. And he turned out to be a rock of offense. Take a look at Isaiah 8:14. This is where you first see it. Get Isaiah 8, Romans 9, and 1 Peter 2. See, you thought only John was going to make it turn to three places at once. So here we go. Isaiah 8, Romans 9, Isaiah 8, Romans 9, and 1 Peter 2. So now I have to do the same thing. So I'll bear with you, you bear with me. Romans 9 and 1 Peter 2. This is where you see this phrase three times. So you can confirm that when he says, upon this rock, he's speaking about himself. Isaiah 8:14. Isaiah 8:14, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You get Romans 9:33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. There it is. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then up to 1 Peter 2:8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed. So even that concept that Peter is the rock, that doesn't wash. Christ was the rock. And it turned out to be a rock of offense to the leadership of the nation of Israel. Israel falls. Salvation comes to the Gentiles through their fall and not through their rise. Totally different message. How about this statement? Bless Israel and you will be blessed. Heard that before? Heard that a couple of times. Like, yeah, it's in the Bible. I will bless and the blessing, and curse thee, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Amanda got to go to another little thing. She'd gone to Puerto Rico for 3.5 weeks, and she came back 2 days later, went back to D.C., Washington, D.C., for a trip about Israel awareness for the nation of Israel, because they don't have a lot of friends these days, do they? And she said, I heard a lot of things that were different than what we talked about. I said, yeah, I imagine so, but the idea that they're trying to find anybody they can that will give them some positive news. because there's just so much of trying to discount what they're doing. And she said, yeah, they talked about 1947, this. I said, yeah, all that. I understand all that. But that's not what God's talking about when he says he's going to scatter them and then gather them again. That isn't what happened in 1947. Take a look at Leviticus chapter 22, verse 33. We'll start there. Here's this talk about, you wanted to say the idea that bless them that bless Israel based on Genesis. Well, there's a lot of water under the bridge since that statement, isn't there? A lot that's happened. Leviticus 22 and chapter 22, verse 33. Leviticus. See, I told you I'd get a bad reference in there somewhere. Someone could probably look this up. Here's how it goes. And I will scatter you among the heathen and draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. So that's somewhere in Leviticus. I'm not sure where. And I will scatter you. I'm not sure the reference. I got the wrong reference. I will scatter you among the heathen. So the idea was, if you do what you're told as a nation, you'll be blessed. The nation itself will be blessed, and that blessing would overflow the Gentiles. But if you don't, I'm going to scatter you. I'm going to punish you. 26, 33. Thank you. When you finish looking at that, go to Psalms chapter 44. This same theme is repeated in case they didn't get it, which apparently they didn't. And if we understand that the nation as God's chosen people was going to be under attack, wasn't it? By satanic policy against it. And it's no wonder that they succumbed to that. They were the focus of attack. And so we can give them a hard time for disobeying, but we wouldn't have done any better, would we? Take a look at Romans 1, 1 and chapter 2. Chapter 3 says all of sin. He lays out that plan of how it's look, the Gentiles messed up. Israel messed up, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Answer wasn't in what was going on there. It's going to be God's faithfulness to them, the second covenant, new covenant. But if you look at Psalm 44, it's repeated once again. Psalm 44, verse 8. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever, Selah. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and that they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast what? Scattered us among the heathen. Thy sellest thy people for naught. So God promised that if they didn't obey, they were going to get scattered. And that's what ended up happening, isn't it? Take a look at Deuteronomy, back up to Deuteronomy chapter 4. There's another one of those promises, just like in Leviticus. Deuteronomy 4. Very clear promise. If you obey, you'll get immense blessing. If not, you're going to get scattered. Deuteronomy 4, verse 27. Go back to verse 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall be utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. So that kind of flies in the face of blessing Israel, doesn't it? They're not even there to bless anymore. So are you supposed to do that? But that time is yet to come, isn't it? We have a completely different message we preach now. We preach salvation of the Gentiles for the fall of Israel. That's depicted on the chart here. And that's good news for us as Gentiles. So that's obviously fake news today. It won't be someday, but it definitely is today. In Jeremiah 9, he says, as the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law which I set before them and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. So fortunately, gospel, the grace of God takes it much farther down the road after their fall instead of the tribulation starting, there's been 2,000 years of grace. So that's something to be thankful for. How about this statement? Fake news or good news? The church began at Pentecost. How many times have you heard that or read that? Whew. Your head spin after you try to count all those. Obviously, that's fake news. There's a writer, I don't know if we have it on our table back there, but recently he wrote a tract that gave 25 reasons why the church, the body of Christ, did not begin at Pentecost. In fact, it wasn't the beginning of anything. It says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It's a continuation of the prophecy program. So that's obviously fake news. How about this? Fake news or good news? When you get baptized, it's a testimony of your faith to the world. You heard that one before? Oh man, I remember doing that when I was a kid. After all, it says in Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And Luke 7:28. Because you always got to throw a little guilt in there too, right, when they talk about baptism. Oh yeah, it's for a testimony, but then Luke 7 kind of puts a little guilty spin on it. It's interesting how you go into Christian churches and you come out feeling guilty. It's like, wait a minute, we sing that song? How's it go? My guilt is all gone. That's the message of grace. But Luke 7, this puts a little seed of doubt in your mind. You think, oh, maybe that would be me too if I didn't get baptized. Luke 7:28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God. How'd they do that? Being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. See, you got to get baptized. That's fake news. We know that you just go over a couple of verses with people and they'll realize, wait a minute, that can't be true today. Gospel of the grace of God, Paul says, he says in Ephesians 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Okay, there's only one. It's not all of them combined into one, like you've heard preachers say. Oh, that means all of them. No, that's not true. How about 1 Corinthians 12:13, where he says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It only takes a couple of verses for people to realize, oh, it can't be water baptism. Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? That didn't happen when I got dunked in water when I was 12 or whatever. So obviously, the idea of baptism is a testimony of your faith. There's only one baptism. Enjoy the one you do have. Baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the good news. That's not fake news. How about this one? If you don't win one soul a month for Christ, you're off your game. God will start looking at you like, hey, what are you doing down there? No, that's not how grace works, is it? It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to what? His mercy saved us by washing and regeneration of the Holy Ghost. It's His work. We're co-laborers with God, aren't we? It's not about us. It's about Christ in me. If it was about me, I'd tell you to go home. It's not worth listening to. But it's about the Word of God rightly divided. That's the thing you can focus on. Someone gets saved as a result of your ministry? Awesome. But again, it's not some kind of a mark you get in your favorites. It's you plant, you water, and God gives the increase. You can just let Him take care of that. We have boldness and access by the faith of who? By the Lord, faith of Him. That's in Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. In 2 Corinthians 1:24, we used to end this our studies at Barry's house with this verse. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by works ye stand. Is that what it says? No. By faith ye stand. We walk by faith. Faith in the Word of God rightly divided. That's where our faith stands. It's on the faith of Christ. So, as you've probably seen, most of these started with just fake news. But there's a lot of fake news out there. There's a lot of winds of doctrine out there. Wind blowing all the time. Just like we said, leaves on the street blowing around. Your job is to understand where you are in the Bible. We preach based on where we are and what's going on, what God is doing today. And that gives you confidence. You realize, I'm standing on an amazing foundation, foundation of Christ Himself. And He put Christ in me, the Holy Spirit's my seal. It's God that worketh in you, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. And my will kind of gets pushed out of the way. That's something I can have some confidence in. And that's where the joy comes in, knowing that every little step I take, every day, sometimes it's even just 5 minutes, trying to get 5 minutes in the right direction, and realize, hey, I can keep it going the rest of the day. Keep this week rolling in the right direction. So that whomever you're witnessing to or ministering to, that they'll understand how the grace of God works because they see it in you too. And Brother Steve was talking about how he says, I noticed something different about you guys. Well, it's not us. It's got to be the gospel, the grace of God at work in our hearts. And so that'll help you to combat any fake news you might come across out there, to use that phrase we started with this morning. When you compare the Galatians and the Philippians, which one do you want to be like? Philippians, right? How about the Corinthians or the Thessalonians? Thessalonians, right? So you got some clear models there about what's going on. Now the Corinthians did make some progress. He says that he commended them for the progress they made, but they were like way behind and they made some progress in the right direction. Thessalonians started off a little farther ahead. You can see the progress they made, even though they were confused. They were at least really contemplating these things. They weren't trying to push the resurrection itself out of their mind. They're wondering, had it already passed? It's like, wait, it doesn't make sense. And when they read Paul's letter, they realized, oh, this makes sense. Their faith was bolstered by that. So the reason you want to think like the Thessalonians or the Philippians is you want to be like them because they didn't get circumvented by the fake news. For a minute, the Thessalonians didn't they realize, oh, wait, that can't be right because of what he told us. And then when he sent that second letter, can you imagine how much that must have bolstered their faith? So think more like the Thessalonians and the Philippians and the Corinthians, the Galatians and the Philippians. Stay on track with the good news, not fake news. And if you do, then we might just be like the Romans. Turn to Romans 1:8. We'll close with this verse. Romans 1, verse 8. This would be so cool if people talked about bringing Bible ministries, the gospel, the grace of God this way. This is a goal that if you can keep this in mind, that if this were the impact you'd have, it'd be like, wow, that would be amazing. Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Wow. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to have on your tombstone? Faith spoken of throughout the whole world. It's like, wow, that's quite a legacy. So may that be said of us here at Berean Bible. May it be said of you and your family that your faith is spoken of as far as possible, as far as you can get it out there, get that message out there. Gospel, the grace of God. Remember who it's about. It's about Him. I know you understand that. That's why you're here this morning. That's why you open that book and study it when you do. You're thinking about your dear Savior, and someday, maybe soon, He'll be coming for us. We're one day closer today than we were yesterday. And tomorrow, one day closer than you are today. Like, okay, Lord, bring it on, please. But until then, He's waited 2,000 years. He could be waiting a lot longer, and if so, use the time wisely. That's my hope for you this week, for all of us. That we'd have understand our confidence and access by the faith of Him. We'd enjoy that, be able to take that and use that. So when those winds of doctrine come your way, and they're going to come this week, just brush off you, blow right past you. You know what? My foundation is on the Lord Jesus Christ, on Him alone. He's a secure foundation. He's good enough for God, good enough for me. He said who to follow, following Paul, just the way he did it. Understand the wisdom given to him. The mystery that he gave, it's not a mystery anymore. It's completely out there for people to see. And it's your privilege to preach that to people. So keep preaching. Don't stop. Don't give up. Remember where your source comes from. It's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So let's end with a word of prayer and then we'll dismiss. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time we've had together to review some things we could just kind of ingest, call fake news. But there's a lot of winds of doctrine out there that just want to blow us off of the foundation we have in Christ. But it's there. We just have to see what it is and discover it in your word and be thankful for it. And then no matter what hits us during the week, it won't throw us off track because we'll know we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. unto and until the day of redemption when we get our brand new bodies. How we look forward to that. I know that we have people in our midst that are struggling with bodies that are breaking down, but even in the midst of all that, you've given us comfort, understanding how suffering works, how opposition is meant to just make us dig deeper into your word and see where our confidence comes from, where our security comes from, where the patience comes from, and it's indeed in Christ, through Christ in us. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. All right. I'm dismissed. Thank you.